Today, the White House announced that President Trump's lawyer, Ty Cobb, would be retiring at the end of the month. His replacement, Emmett Flood, a veteran attorney who represented Bill Clinton during his impeachment process. Please remember, you can find us online at usaradio.com. This is USA Radio News.
Okay, so the big question for any decision you're going to make, is this actually going to work? Well, if you've heard about MediShare, which is a brilliant way of sharing healthcare costs, you may have wondered that. Does it work? Well, so did Dr. Stuart Hoover, who initially joined to save a lot of money. The typical family saves about $500 a month. Stuart saved even more.
When we first joined MediShare, we were immediately going from a little over $1,600 a month down to $460 basically a month.
So that's wonderful, but then his wife needed emergency surgery and the bills added up to $160,000.
So we were seeing the bills coming in, and then the bills were being paid. Portions were being shared, and the end result of this bill was taken care of.
Yes, MediShare works, and it's so easy to get your questions answered too. So why not? You can call right now, 833-39-BIBLE. That's 833-39-BIBLE, 833-39-BIBLE.
No change at the top of the cable news ratings. Here's USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes with all the details.
Fox News was number one overall in April, which means it's officially the most watched cable news network among total viewers for 196 consecutive months. NTV Newser says Hannity is again the number one primetime show of all the cable networks. Compared with April of last year, MSNBC was up by 24% in total primetime viewers, while CNN posted a 4% year-over-year growth rate.
Kanye West has been raising some eyebrows from his recent statements regarding President Donald Trump and his support of President Trump. Former Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice joined Fox Business and shared her opinion on what Kanye West has been saying as of late.
People should be able to express their views. Not all of us have to think politically the same way. I think we need to recognize that in some ways the height of prejudice is to look at somebody and think you know what they think because of the color of their skin.
This is USA Radio News.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
Keza Dom had her prom like many high school Americans did last weekend, and she is receiving a lot of flack for a dress she wore. She wore a traditional Chinese dress to her prom. She explains how she chose that dress.
For prom, I decided to go to a vintage shop in downtown Salt Lake. I was looking for a dress that had a modest neckline and was unique. And the second I saw this dress, I was immediately drawn to it and its beauty, and I bought it. The night of prom, I got multiple compliments from strangers and even from teachers and administrators, my friends. When I posted it on Twitter the day after with the simple caption prom, that was when I started getting some responses. And I wasn't expecting it quite exactly, so it caught me by surprise.
She was also asked if she was trying to make fun of the Chinese culture or heritage.
We were not mocking Chinese culture. In fact, we were referring to a famous YouTuber from H3H3 Productions.
U.S. agencies are unprepared when it comes to protecting the public from disease carried by mosquitoes, ticks, and fleas. That's according to a new report by the Center for Disease Control and Prevention. Over 80% of pest control organizations lack the capacity to handle increasing rates of a new disease carried by a growing number of infected mosquitoes, ticks, and fleas. The CDC said these organizations require improvement in one or more of five, quote, core competencies, such as testing for pesticide resistance. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Welcome to Destination Hockey on the Hunterdon Chamber Radio, the voice of business. Here is the beautiful weather in Hunterdon County. Right now we have sun. It is 86 degrees. It is the hottest it has been all year, and I'm inside doing the show. Thankfully, it's air conditioned, but it is absolutely wonderful outside. It will get windy tonight, though, and after tonight, we will have thunderstorms tomorrow, but it will still be hot with a high of 86, and then through the weekend, we will have scattered showers, but it will be sunny through most of the weekend. So that is your weather in Hunterdon County. We will be right back with Destination Hockey.
¿Sabía que de cada cinco personas hay Una que lucha con síntomas difíciles de salud mental, NAMI es una organización estatal sin fines de lucro. Somos empleados voluntarios. Somos la voz de la nación sobre las enfermedades mentales. NAMI te ofrece grupos de apoyo, educación e información. Nuestro programa educativo de Familia a Familia está dirigido por miembros de NAMI para familiares y amigos de personas que luchan con dificultad de salud mental. Llámanos al 888-803-3413. Recuerda, no estás solo. NAMI está contigo y no hay salud sin salud mental.
Welcome to Destination Hockey. I am your host, David Lazar, and today we have quite the show in store for you. First, we're going to talk about the NHL playoffs. I was absent last week. I apologize for that. And while I was gone, a lot has gone on that is really exciting. So I want to talk about that. Then we're going to move on to a different side of the game that you don't usually see. This might be an episode for more advanced hockey fans, fans who watch and pay attention to everything. And we're going to talk about officiating, we're going to talk about rules, we're going to talk about suspensions, and that will take us through the hour. We don't have anyone interviewing today, so I will be solo for this whole hour, but I have a lot planned and I'm really excited. So first, the NHL playoffs. This year has been the most even playoffs I've ever seen, in that you have 16 teams that are really, really good. The worst team in the playoffs, the Colorado Avalanche, put up a fight against Nashville, and they really, really impressed. They had a great home ice advantage. They have Nathan MacKinnon leading the charge, solid defense, and they just were held back by goaltending injuries. Both of their goaltenders got injured, Varlamov and Bernier, and they needed Andrew Hammond to come and step in, and that was tough for them. They couldn't get a win in Game 6, and if they won that Game 6, it would have been back to 7, and Nashville really would have been on their heels. So that's the worst team in the playoffs, the Colorado Avalanche. And now you're down to the final eight. And the eight teams, the Lightning, the Bruins, the Golden Knights, the Sharks, the Capitals, Penguins, Predators, and Jets, are really, really good hockey teams. I mean, they are fantastic. Any team can go far. Any team can win the cup. And this is showing, because you have these teams in series that are just absolutely even. Every single series, all four in the second round, after game two, the series was tied up at 1-1. So that means a team won in game one, a different team won in game two. That rarely ever happens. You always get your occasional sweep, your blowouts. But with this, you're just having all these teams match up against each other perfectly. Tonight, Wednesday, May 2nd, you've got two games on. I'm going to preview them slightly. The Lightning and the Bruins. Tuukka Rask is a just brilliant regular season goaltender, but he has not been doing well coming off of wins. Tuukka Rask plays well. He has the best offense, most complete offense with the best depth I've ever seen. And they have four great lines, about seven players that I talked about 2 weeks ago that are scraps that can make up another team that would be really good. They have a very good team, but Tuukka Rask in net is not giving them what they need. He plays well for a game, and then the next game is a dud every single time. With the Toronto series, he could not win games after winning games. He would win a game, and then he'd do terrible. And that would continue. The Bruins were up 3-1, and Rask had two really bad games in a row. And then in Game 7, he played pretty terribly. But Boston's offense just overpowered Toronto. The Lightning, they beat the Devils in the first round in a very hard-fought matchup. They did get the bounces. They did have more experience. So they won that matchup. They have weaknesses. They're not the dominant Tampa Bay Lightning team we saw in the regular season. Not too confident about them. If Tuukka Rask could play anything close to what he did in the regular season, Boston runs away with this series. But Tuukka Rask just is not giving the Bruins what they need. Lightning have Stamkos, Kucherov. Stamkos is struggling. He's not your normal Steven Stamkos, just like Tuukka Rask isn't your normal Tuukka Rask. He changed up his tape recently. He's a very mental player. He went from white tape to black tape. When a player like him does that, that means that something's mentally wrong. Steven Stamkos is struggling. All of his players are doing well around him, and he needs to pick it up if Tampa wants to win. So that's your matchup for tonight at 7 p.m. on NBC Sports Network. I'm going to go Bruins win 3-2 in overtime. That's my prediction. And on to the Vegas Golden Knights and the San Jose Sharks. My favorite matchup of the postseason. These two teams are perfect complements of each other. Vegas has the complete all-around lineup. San Jose has the stars at the top. The beards in this matchup are sensational. Just the hockey you're watching is really, really something I've never seen before in terms of two teams just going at it. The goaltending is ridiculous. Marc-Andre Fleury and Martin Jones put on a show every single night. And this is something that a team needs. Vegas is up 2-1 in this series. They got a huge overtime win, a great goal from William Karlsson. Wild Bill, as he's known, that was a snipe. That goal, William Karlsson barely put up 10 points in Columbus last year. And my friend Jake, who's listening, we always joke about how William Karlsson, he's a free agent this year, he's going to sign, he has 80 points, he's going to go out and sign a $5, $6 million deal. If he regresses to what he was in Columbus, this is a 10-point player. So William Karlsson has just unleashed a new demon this year, and he is an elite player in the NHL, and he showed it in Game 3. If he can continue to score goals, lead the top line, and get Riley Smith and Jonathan Marchessault to produce something they've been struggling with lately, Vegas has got to win this series. Marc-Andre Fleury, the defense, every player plays 15 minutes a night. They are a beauty to watch. They're what hockey needs, and I hope they go far, being that they're the expansion team. Really, really fun to watch. They do so well in overtime. Their crowd is just unlike anything I've ever seen in terms of just sheer volume. The density of this arena is built perfectly. The Islanders would die to have an arena like this, and this fan base just energizes this entire city, this team. Nate Schmidt, Brayden McNabb, just really, really, they're all just so playing so well. They really deserve to win this game. On to tomorrow's matchups. Before we get to that, though, I am going to make a prediction. I'm going to go Vegas Knights win 4-2. They take a 3-1 series lead, which would be very helpful for them in winning that series. So on to tomorrow's matchups, Capitals-Penguins. That is the series you see every single year. Capitals-Penguins, and the Penguins always win. The Capitals have this playoff curse they can never do well, and that's because the Penguins. It's because the Penguins, every single season they beat them. And in Sidney Crosby's three Stanley Cups, what team have they gone through every time? The Washington Capitals. So the Capitals are finally trying to get this demon off their shoulders, because if they do that, they can beat a Tampa or a Boston. So Washington, with the help of Tom Wilson, absolutely mutilating opposing players with cheap hits, as I will talk about later. This is the Tom Wilson special on Destination Hockey. But the Capitals are playing well. They are solid. They can win this series. You just, as a Capitals fan, if there are any Capitals fans listening, you just have to have doubt, though. They can never pull anything off. They blow leads. They don't get saves when they need it. Brayden Holtby plays sensational, but then he'll just let in a dud here and there. Defense isn't what it used to be, but they're finding ways to win. If they can beat the Pittsburgh Penguins tonight and go up 3-1, there's like a 50% chance they blow this series and lose in seven. But winning tonight is vital. If they don't win tonight, they are not winning this series. They're not. When you have an opportunity to go up 3-1 on the two-time defending champs, Pittsburgh Penguins, you have to take advantage of that. You saw the Flyers blow opportunities to take leads in their series last round. They flamed out in Game 6. They really, really need to win tonight. They're going to see Nicklas Backstrom playing with Chandler Stephenson. Chandler Stephenson, the thing the Capitals do, and this is what I like about them, is they're not the most complete team on paper, so they stagger out the lineup. Chandler Stephenson playing with Nicklas Backstrom and TJ Oshie, one of those players doesn't belong. If this was a multiple choice question, which player doesn't belong? Stephenson, obviously. The other two are elite players, but he fits with the line. He complements them well, and that's what they need. They need someone who just does everything right, and they can stagger out the lines. Alexander Ovechkin has never scored three power play goals in a playoff, and he has scored four already. He is really, really stepping up his game, something he has not done in the playoffs. Teams have found a way to shut him down, but this year he has been elite. Great regular season, Great playoffs from him. Alexander Ovechkin wants to win this series, and I have some confidence he will. I'm not sure that they will, but the Penguins, most complete, just centers-wise, most complete team possibly of all time. That's not an exaggeration. Four great centers. Malkin and Crosby up top lead this team every night. Justin Schultz, Chris Letang, Brian Dumoulin, who was injured because of a Tom Wilson hit, of course. He's another good defensive guy. Matt Murray needs to step it up. And that's tough to say because he's a great goaltender. But Pittsburgh has kind of gotten used to, in a bad way, I'd say, Matt Murray just absolutely standing on his head in net. And when you play like that, it's great. You don't have to put up a lot of goals. But when Matt Murray doesn't, you know, when Matt Murray lets up four goals, including one with a minute left, that's not great for Pittsburgh. It would be nice to have Marc-Andre Fleury back there with the veteran advice. I'm sure he wouldn't be playing, but I'm sure he'd be there helping. But now that you're just with Matt Murray, you have to ride with your starting goaltender, and Matt Murray just needs to play a little better. I'm not saying he's been bad, but if Matt Murray can play just a little better, that would be really big for Pittsburgh. And then to the last series, the Predators-Jets series, on Twitter, can this be a 27-game series? Can this be a 35-game series? This series is what all hockey fans are dreaming of. Two best teams in the league, blazing offenses, very, very good defenses with three, four elite players on each D. And then you've got the goaltending matchup, just Pekka Rene and Connor Hellebuyck, two really, really good netminders. This series, really something that hockey hasn't seen in a while. In the second round, you've got the two best teams, two cup favorites, and they're going against each other. For my predictions for Thursday's games, I'm going to go Pittsburgh wins 4-1. They really show up to play and send Washington back home not happy. And I'm going to go Predators rebound. They blew a game, a three-goal lead in game three. That's not what you want when you're the Predators. You need to hold leads. So I'm going to go the Predators rebound on Thursday. I'm going to say they win 2-1, get a nice game from Pekka Rinne. So those are my predictions. Those are Wednesdays and Thursdays. That's today and tomorrow's slate of hockey games in the playoffs. Four great series. I encourage you to watch these matchups ensue. They're just really, really good hockey playing out. So that was your first playoff. That was your first segment on today's show. We talked about the playoffs like we've been doing throughout the postseason. It's been a ton of fun to watch these players go at it with each other. So we will be right back. Please stay with us because I have a lot planned. We're going to talk about goaltender interference. We're going to talk about offsides. And then we're going to talk about Tom Wilson. So please stick with us.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, paraplanner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want. Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Offsides. For those of you who are not aware of what this rule is, the NHL has a very controversial rule regarding this enigma, I'll call it, because recently something that's so simple as a player putting their skate over the line has really turned into a controversy. An offsides is when a player crosses the blue line before the puck. It's pretty simple. If a player is skating and his teammate's to the left of him, if his teammate goes over the blue line before him and the puck, it's offsides. The referee is supposed to blow it dead. A player only needs to have one skate contact with one skate on the blue line, though. So when you think about that, he can have one skate outside the blue line, one skate in the zone, and that's good. So to visualize that, You could probably guess. That seems easy, but things can get close. And the NHL recently implemented a rule where you can challenge a goal. If a goal, and these video guys are absolutely crazy, Matt Bertan, he's the Islanders guy, he gets every call right. Every single time the puck enters the zone, these video guys watch the entry. If it's offsides, they call down to the coach within seconds, and they challenge the call. And this is something that has caused a lot of headaches for referees and for everyone in the hockey world. Basically, what happens when you challenge is the referee puts on his microphone, says there's a challenge. If the home team is the one that could be losing a goal, there's a lot of booing. If the away team is the one that could be losing the goal, there's a lot of cheering. So basically, a video replay ensues, and this is where things get really, really complicated. The referees look at a little small tablet. Literally, it's the size of an iPad, and a small iPad, like an iPad mini. It is like 7 inches, and they're looking at this tablet, right? This is a tablet, and they are making a decision that is decided by millimeters. This is unfathomable, in my opinion. They are looking at tablets to decide NHL hockey games. People's careers are on the line. Teams are on the line. And an offsides call might seem, you know, minuscule, but it really has a large effect on the game. The NHL, to encourage teams not to use their challenge, has added a rule where a failed offsides challenge will result in a minor penalty for delay a game rather than just a forfeited timeout. So you're losing, you're possibly giving up a goal then going right to the penalty kill. That could be a second goal. That's two goals. That's really bad. So teams are only challenging these offside rules if they're pretty confident. So this offsides rule is really something that fans kind of sigh at when they hear offsides, because it's, first of all, just like baseball has problem with timing, this takes up a lot of time. The game stops. Players sit on the bench. Injuries are more likely because they're sitting and doing nothing for 5 minutes, and the referees take their dear old time. I'm telling you, some of these things can go on for 10 minutes, and this is not what the fastest and greatest sport, in my opinion, in the world needs. So here are some solutions. Tennis is a sport that many people don't even think about, but tennis implements technology perfectly. Hawkeye is a computer system used in numerous sports, and tennis is the main one. And basically what it does is it visually tracks a ball, or it could be a puck, and displays a profile. So it's basically like a projectile, what you'd learn in math class in high school. And it projects a projectile of its path as a moving image. So you might be wondering, if a ball is bouncing, how could it project a projectile? This would be even simpler. All you have to do is get a camera, a Hawkeye, on the puck. So you don't even have to worry about the error that you could get because the ball's dropping because of wind or anything. This is literally just tracking a puck that's on the ice. And if it's bouncing up, then whatever, you track that. But Hawkeye is great technology. It's expensive, but the NHL has money coming out of everywhere. So why not try new technology? We're in 2018. Technology is taking over the world. You've got engineers, computer scientists, geniuses going into this Hawkeye technology trying to develop it, and I think it would be great for hockey. Anything similar, just get a camera on the blue line that you can clearly see where the puck is and where the players are. Put a tracker in the puck. That seems simple enough. They do it in tennis. They just get a tracker, get a Hawkeye, get something to track this puck so it's not the eye of the official on a 7-inch tablet deciding it. You have some technology backing it up. So that's a possible solution, just technology. Hawkeye's a great example, but I would love some technology in hockey. You don't see it. You have these little tablets. I want something to finally give a definitive answer on offsides. These calls, they kill momentum. They change the fate of games. With the Islanders, Ryan Pulock scored a power play goal because the Florida Panthers scored a goal. Islanders challenged, and it was offsides by a millimeter. And as an Islanders fan, I was screaming. But Panthers fans must have been annoyed. They went from scoring a goal to losing a goal. And they gave up a goal right after because of the momentum. Barclay Center was wild, and you saw the momentum shift, and the Islanders won a game, and they won a playoff series because of it. As an Islanders fan, I'm ecstatic to say that, but the Islanders should not have won when you trace it all back because of an offsides call. But there's something that's a little worse than the offsides call, And I'll give you a second to guess, but I'm sure you could assume. This is the goaltender interference call. And this is causing everyone, fans from other sports are tuning into this debate because it is just unheard of what we are seeing in hockey. There have been clear, and I mean clear, inconsistencies in officiating this season, and especially in the playoffs, this is being highlighted by huge calls in huge moments. It's compared to a charge in basketball. It's an incredibly difficult judgment call. I'm not going to say it's easy, but it seems to be called wrong more often than it is right. Over time, the call has morphed into what the last call was. If in the game 2 days ago, the refs are seeing this goaltender interference call and the goal was overturned, if it's something similar, they might overturn it, even though it's not goaltender interference. When referees are deciding this call, they were looking at a teeny tablet again, and this is even more scary because referees, I hate the tablets, they are looking at tablets to decide goaltender interference. Thankfully, in March, the NHL changed a rule where now Toronto is looking at all goaltender interference calls. Is this better? I don't know. I'll get to that later. But the NHL is really, really struggling with goaltender interference. So the NHL, they made this change to send the call to Toronto. And listen to this. The call is now decided in the league situation room by approximately five people, including an ex-referee. But Senior Vice President of Hockey Operations, Chris King, makes the final say. This is one guy from potentially three time zones away, like we saw in the Vegas game, who could be falling asleep and has to get woken up to make this call. One guy with the final say. And this isn't just like deciding if it's a goal or no goal. And even that, in the Washington Capitals-Pittsburgh Penguins series, we saw the inconsistencies with that. It looked the Penguins scored what looked like a clear goal, but it was overturned for seemingly no reason. But the NHL goaltending call, interference call, is even worse because it's so ambiguous. The infraction of goaltender interference is inherently subjective because you have this, it's written in the rule books with phrases like impairs the goaltender's ability to move freely, initiates intentional or deliberate contact, and made a reasonable effort to avoid such contact. Those are quotes. And what do those mean? Move freely? Can the goaltender run into someone and still move freely? A lot of phrases that just as a casual fan, you wouldn't even know what they mean. And as a goaltender, even as an NHL goaltender, you're thinking, what about this? What if this happens? You know, what if I get hit? What if so many what ifs? And this was really apparent Saturday night in the Vegas San Jose Sharks series, my favorite series. I was awake watching this double overtime game. Vegas thought they won when Jonathan Marchessault beat Martin Jones at 16:58 in the first overtime, but it was determined by review that there was a goaltender interference. So what does this mean? I'm not going to say this was a bad call. Jonathan Marchessault skimmed into Jones's side. Brendan Dillon had his hands on him, but he wasn't really pushed, and he was guided into the goaltender, made contact. 3 seconds later, the goal was scored. Jones kind of flopped, and Jones was slightly out of the crease, but his skates were in, but his blocker wasn't. Really, really tough call. Could have gone either way. I respect the overturn, especially considering people have been accusing the NHL of giving Vegas every benefit of the doubt. So it was a change of pace to see Vegas get a call called against them. But again, the inconsistencies. The timing of this call was terrible. Earlier in the same exact game, Timo Meier pushed Colin Miller into Marc-Andre Fleury. And a goal was scored by Brett Burns on the wraparound. So you probably think, oh, he was pushed. But he was pushed, and Meier made no effort to get out of the way. So thus, by the rule, even though he was pushed, is that a goaltender interference? It should be. But if you watched it, a hockey fan would probably say, oh, that's not goaltender interference. He was pushed. But by the rules, it is. There are so many inconsistencies. And I'll say it again. Blake Como, in round one, literally skimmed Predators goaltender Pekka Rinne. In a 3-1 game, they would have gotten within one goal, and it was called back. I'm telling you, Pekka Rinne was about a foot out of the crease. Blake Como skimmed him. Absolutely made no contact that, in my opinion, affected the goaltender, and it was called back. So there are so many problems with this. I just outlined all of them. What are the solutions? I said this with Offsides. I talked about Hawkeye technology. Maybe I'm thinking in an alternate universe where technology is accessible to everyone. But in my opinion, I think there are solutions to this problem. It's tough. Some hockey people, you ask them and they don't even know. But I think I have a few solutions. One, you have to define contact with the goalie. In the rule book, you have to write this in the rule book. Is it a skim? How about getting pushed? Are you making an effort to get out of the way? There's so many questions, and they need to be answered. They need to take a bunch of referees, and just get everything on the table, all the problems, and answer them in the rule book. I say, if you get it in the rule book, at least you have something to go by. It won't be perfect, but something needs to be defined. Another issue, in my opinion, and as someone who's more traditional in hockey, you know, I like the hits, I like the enforcers, which is ironic because in the next 15 minutes I'm going to be trashing Tom Wilson, but there needs to be a rule that goes back to the old days, and that is the goalie has to be in the crease. If the goalie is a foot outside the crease and he's interfered with, if the player is not literally taking his stick and banging him over the head and he's just skimming him or making slight contact, that's the goalie's fault. The goalie needs to be in the crease. The crease is ample room. I don't care how tall Martin Jones is, whatever. You need to be in the crease. I'm sorry. If you're not in the crease and your stick's out and your stick is touched, that's your fault as the goalie, not the players. The players don't stand in the goalie's crease and give and really impede on the goalie space because they'll be bopped in the back of the head with a blocker. They give the goalie space. The goalies need to give the player space. This is something that doesn't happen and needs to be one of the first steps in fixing this goaltender interference problem. And then there's another thing. This one irks me because this is where you start to get the problems with goaltender interference highlighted. Let's say a goalie's hit. Clearly goaltender interference, but the puck's kicked out to the point of few passes and a goal scored. 5 seconds after the goaltender was hit. The goaltender needs to make an effort to get back into position. If there is 5 seconds elapsing between when he's hit and when he is still on the ground, I don't care. You got to get up. Goaltenders flop. They embellish. And if you're if you're playing goaltender, whether in youth or high school or college, I seem to be putting a lot of blame on the goaltender for a problem that is goaltender interference. It's not the goaltender's fault. It may sound like I'm blaming the victim, but the goaltenders are really at fault. You kind of need to think backwards with this problem because the goaltenders really are the source of the issue, in my opinion. If the goaltender is hit and, you know, he gets up 5 seconds later and makes a fake effort to stop a goal, that should be a goal. The goaltender needs to be hit, immediately get back up, and get back into position as soon as possible. Just like an icing call, if the player dilly-dallies back into the zone and doesn't really chase the puck, they don't call the icing. They blow it off. The same concept needs to be applied to goaltender interference. And then this is another thing. I say screw the last call. If you're playing Thursday night, let's say tomorrow, and tonight there's a huge goaltender interference call that was maybe wrong, maybe right, who knows. As an NHL referee, as Toronto, as King, who's in Toronto making the call, you need to forget about it. I don't care if your emotion's getting in the way, if it's a big moment or whatnot, forget the last call. The NHL goaltender interference call seems to be revolved around what happened yesterday, what happened 2 weeks ago, this mistake from 4 months ago, and they try to base it off the past. You need to base it off the present. You need to base it off the rule book. The rule book needs to be changed. Sure, the people making the calls are humans and they have memories, but you can't let that get in the way. Make the call as clear as possible. Make rules, not just ambiguous phrases, and really get this call right. And lastly, this is a big problem. Ex-referees, they need more of a say. Pat Stewart, who was on the show, and he was a great interview. I hope to have him on again on the show soon. He felt almost hurt when I would ask about why are NHL referees not more involved in officiating, in making the rules. It doesn't make sense. You have these guys who dedicate their lives to the game of hockey and officiating it, and calling it the right way. Yet as soon as they retire, they're kicked off to the streets, and rich executives that come in and make the rules to the NHL, these GMs, all these people, have no idea what they're talking about. It's just, it's a fact. They don't really know what they're talking about. They're more behind the scenes, you know, making money, trying to get the best team on the ice. They don't really care about the rules. So you need to get ex-referees involved. After the Vegas call, where you had a game decided by a goaltender interference call that was questionable, again, I'm 50-50 on the call. It happened. I'm not too angry about it. But ex-referee Carey Fraser said it best. He said, "I can't imagine many players, present or past, other than goalies and Sharks players," which that seems to be the case because the Sharks players just got so lucky. The series, they'd be down 3-0 without it. But back to the quote. "Can't imagine many players, present or past, would agree with the interference on that disallowed OT goal. Skating outside the blue paint is players' territory. Jones' stick encroached on that space. Jonathan Marchessault went into Jones' stick. It was outside the crease. That's free game." And he says it. And no one really, the hockey executives, don't define that. It would be so much easier if they just said goalies have to stay in the crease. If they're interfered with, it's not their fault. Because it's not the fault of the offensive player when the goalie's out of the crease. And again, if you're just taking your stick and whacking the goalie in the pads, or if you're pushing him, or if you're really, really intruding, interfering with, as the rule says, they'll call it. But if the goalie is outside the crease and you're just kind of walking by, skimming him, something needs to change. So that was goaltender interference. Lots of problems there. Lots of overturns. Games decided. The Las Vegas Golden Knights, being the resilient team that they are, came back and won Game 3. If they didn't, the inaugural season of the Vegas Golden Knights could theoretically have been defined by a goaltender interference call, because who knows what would have happened. But they win Game 3. Game 4 is tonight. If Vegas goes up, they can put that call in the past and really show that they're a good hockey team that doesn't need the officials to help them out. They can win on their own. So goaltender interference, lots of problems. It's really deciding games, quite literally. But a good hockey team learns how to come back from it. A good hockey player learns how to, you know, kind of not cheat, but use the rules to their advantage. So hopefully there's some rule changes this offseason. I wish I could just walk into the GM meeting and say what I just said, because the source of the issue, the goaltenders get no blame. There needs to be a little bit of blame on the goaltenders. And the rule book, there needs to be outlined rules that you could use to help decide these calls. I'm sure that in Toronto, this guy King is doing a great job, and he probably is great for the NHL, but his calls with goaltender interference have been wrong. A lot of them have been wrong, and it's not his fault. He's going by some pretty tough rules and judgment calls, but NHL GMs, ex-referees, the hockey world needs to come together and get this call right, because without it, games will be continued to be altered, and there would just be a lot more problems if this thing isn't adjusted this offseason. So please, just hockey, get this one right, because we really need it. So that was our goaltender interference and offside segment. We will be right back with what you've all been waiting for. We're going to talk about Tom Wilson, because this guy has gotten out of hand. So please stick with us. We'll be right back.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 40 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisals, sales and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, RabCoin has been for the industry since 1974. Founder and owner Randy Block has been an expert and an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington, or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
For over 50 years, Hunterdon Medical Center has been a leader in delivering comprehensive medical and health services to our community. Our staff is committed to providing the highest quality of care to our patients. If you need a physician, we can refer you to over 300 of the best. Call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
You're listening to HunterdonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located at the historic Large House, 119 Main Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programs.
So Tom Wilson, for those of you guys who don't know who this is an apex predator in the NHL. This guy's a monster. Not because he's bigger than everyone and not because he's stronger than everyone, but because he is cheaper than everyone. This guy is a dirtbag, as you'd call it, and that's a nice way of putting it. And for an Islanders fan like myself, this goes back to him ending Lubomir Visnovsky's career.
Here's Wilson leading the rush. Beagle cutting for the net, so is Chimera, and it's blocked off in front. Great play by Visnovsky. He gets free-rolled by Wilson, who'll head back to the penalty box, and now Hickey ties up Wilson. That's the second big hit on Visnovsky, who went to the locker room on Sunday, Pierre, for a concussion test. He was out with a concussion earlier in the season, and he just got leveled by Tom Wilson.
Well, Ovechkin got him in the first period from behind. Where Wilson gets himself into trouble is he jumps in the air, I believe, Kenny. And you know what? He did not leave his feet. But the puck's not there, and it gets him up high, shoulder to the face. Now, if Visnovsky bends down or hunches over, that's not Wilson's fault, but you look at it, Visnovsky's standing up. So Visnovsky's not putting himself in peril there. He's just trying to make a play on the puck. The shoulder pad of Wilson got him right in the face, and that's why he's got the towel in his mouth.
The NHL has excused this guy for too long, and before the show, I watched a bunch of highlights. I wanted to include the worst hit, in my opinion, of Tom Wilson's career. He was not suspended for that one, but as an Islanders fan, it obviously sticks in my heart. But one thing I noticed, Pierre Maguire announcing all these national games, the announcers of opposing teams or whatever, they give him an excuse every time. Oh, it wasn't the head, it was the shoulder. Oh, Lubomir Visnovsky bent down. First of all, for those of you who don't know, Tom Wilson clearly jumped. Pierre Maguire was wrong. And it wasn't really the shoulder, it was like the side of the helmet. So again, they're giving him an excuse 5 seconds after the hit happens. What is the NHL going to do? Suspend him? And after Pierre Maguire says it's an okay hit? Pierre Maguire, the NHL, it's gone on for too long. Tom Wilson, finally, someone needs to put an end to this. After that hit, John Tavares said, we could have easily hit a lot of guys like that too. And you think of Matt Martin, who was on the team at the time, he could have killed a man. But we stay within the rules and play the game the right way. The puck wasn't even close to where Lubo was, so it's just a complete target of a defenseless player. Not only a defenseless player, a guy in his late 30s who played his last game in the NHL with that play because of a terrible Tom Wilson hit. It's really unfortunate that this guy has ended careers, because that shouldn't be happening. Tom Wilson is playing in the world of concussions, where we're finally getting all this information on brain contusions, CTE, all this stuff. And there's long-term effects of concussions and repeated hits to the head. And it used to be cool to hit players and end their game because, you know, you could ring his bell, put him on the street, all these terms in the old hockey world. But now, when you have all these concussion problems, someone needs to put an end to Tom Wilson injuring players and ending their careers. Two games in a row in this series with the Pittsburgh Penguins, Tom Wilson has taken out a player, not just for the game, but long-term potential injuries, concussions, broken jaws, off hits to the head. Tom Wilson, he's going out, shoulder, head, whatever you want to say it. He's hitting players in the jaw, and these are cheap, malicious hits. They're purposeful. These are not hits that it's like, oh, it was an accident. He is purposely going out there, and it's like Bounty Gate from the New Orleans Saints a few years back. He is purposely trying to take out players in cheap ways, and I don't like that. I don't like when a player thinks he's above the game, above the NHL, and can end these guys' nights, weeks, seasons, and hopefully not careers. Let's say you're mowing your lawn, and this is something I thought up during the commercial break, because this is what Tom Wilson does. You're mowing your lawn, and there's a squirrel. The squirrel doesn't see you, and you're mowing on one of those big driving mowers, and what would you do? The correct answer should be you'd get out of the way. That would be the normal human response to seeing a squirrel when you're on your lawnmower. This is a hypothetical, obviously. But Tom Wilson, if he saw that squirrel, he would run over that squirrel's head and kill the squirrel, ending the squirrel's game, which is a metaphor for his life. Because when Tom Wilson sees a defenseless player, he doesn't avoid him. He doesn't even try to skate to the side so the hit's less bad. He goes full speed, 20 miles per hour, into the player's head. And this is a kill. This is something that the NHL has not seen for a while. And in an NHL where enforcers are starting to become less popular, because of players like Tom Wilson, teams are scared of players accumulating penalties. There are the good guys out there, Ryan Reeves, Matt Martin. These guys play the game the right way, and they provide physicality. Tom Wilson makes all of them look bad. And the worst part, when Tom Wilson goes in for a big hit, he never pays the consequences. He's never suspended appropriately. He's never fighting. This guy hits every single night. Crazy, crazy hits, taking players out. Yet he's never fighting. You want to know why? Because the guy's a baby. Players will come after him after hits and try to fight him, and he'll skate away. The refs will get in the way, and this guy's not paying the consequences. When Ross Johnston went after him after a bad hit, what did Tom Wilson do? His eyes got all wide, he skated away, and when Ross Johnston was about to beat the living daylights out of Tom Wilson and finally get the payback that Islanders fans deserve, the refs come in and they assess a penalty on Ross Johnston and they end the fight. The NHL protects this guy. And to make it worse, he hit a player for the Penguins, Zach Aston-Reese, this week in the last game. And what did he do after breaking this guy's jaw and giving him a concussion? He laughed.
Aston-Reese was run hard, and he is shaken up. And it was Wilson. Meanwhile, this is thrown out in front, and a backhander is stopped by Murray, and play is halted.
There's blood by the gloves. Zach Aston-Reese was over stick handling. Wilson came in at a high rate of speed, and he lets Zach Aston-Reese have it. There's the stick handle. You see Wilson come in. Zach Aston-Reese. Now the principal point of contact there. Watch the head. Watch the head of Aston-Reese. Let's see. Sure looks like the head to me, Doc.
Yeah, and it was eye to eye. He saw him this time, and there was time. So the thought before was that there was not really time to get out of the way.
Fans are letting it. So that is, again, one of the cheapest hits I've ever seen. And just a quick side note, because this is how much I hate Pierre Maguire and even Mike Milbury. The NBC broadcasts have Doc Emmerich, the greatest broadcaster in the history of sports, in my opinion, and they pair him with Pierre Maguire and Mike Milbury. Pierre Maguire, first of all, there was a silence of about 15 seconds, and I knew this before playing the clip. This is the radio, so you couldn't see what was going on. Pierre Maguire just, I don't know if his mic wasn't on or whatever, but the guy wasn't talking. And then, what does he say at first? Reese was over stick handling. So again, he puts the blame on the player getting hit. Doc Emmerich is a great broadcaster, but please, Pierre Maguire, I don't like him commenting on hockey. So, what you don't see, the picture's up right on my computer. Tom Wilson is laughing after breaking someone's jaw. That is not okay. Wilson leads all NHL players in regular season penalty minutes since he entered the NHL in 2013, and he's not leading it by a small margin. It is a large, large margin. He was suspended twice in the 2017-2018 NHL preseason for brutal hits. This is the preseason. Players are supposed to be having fun, getting their legs back, practicing, trying to become better hockey players. Young kids are trying to make the team. And what's he trying to do? He's trying to take the heads off of these young kids. This has been 20 times, 25 times. There is a list on YouTube. If you Google Tom Wilson hits, YouTube comes up with a nice little playlist. There's like 57 really cheap hits of Tom Wilson. There's no fights because this guy's a baby and won't pay for his actions, but there's hits. Cheap hits. He's never suspended. He never pays the price. The NHL, they are stubborn, whether it's with goaltender interference, whether it's with the offsides rule. Any problem they have, whether it's with a player, a rule, an arena, they don't listen. The NHL doesn't listen. With the Islanders in their arena, they don't listen. With Tom Wilson, they don't listen. They need to listen to the people who are paying their money to watch this sport. Because when the MLB, Major League Baseball, didn't listen, what happens? Fans stopped showing up, and now they're in a crisis. Players are not signing in free agency because teams are going broke. And why is that? Because the fans aren't happy. Fans are the sun that provides the earth, which is the league, with its life. If you're an NHL executive, I don't see how you cannot want to appeal to the fans. And this is the fans' consensus here. I will speak for the fans, except Capitals fans. Tom Wilson is the cheapest and most disgusting player I have seen in my lifetime. For those older, there are some pretty bad players back in the day. But even Rocco Gudas, even Roman Polak, he puts those players to shame. They make cheap hits. Rocco Gudas is even injuring Sean Couturier in their own practice, but it's not as the quantity isn't there. Tom Wilson almost 50 times has injured players, has hit them inappropriately, has damaged the careers, possibly concussed. Days are literally being taken off of their lives because of Tom Wilson. They are living less because of head trauma and issues. They are being taken away from their families earlier because Tom Wilson isn't getting away. Just like the squirrel, instead of turning away from the squirrel, Tom Wilson is running the squirrel over and killing it. This is really sad. And I feel bad for a guy like Vyzhnovsky, who, if Dennis Seidenberg can do it, I'm sure Vyzhnovsky could have done it. NHL defensemen, they're valuable, even if you're not the greatest and if you're old. Lubomir Vyzhnovsky probably could have come back, probably could have played with another team, but no, his NHL career is over because of Tom Wilson. Zach Aston-Reeves, his playoffs are over because of a concussion and a jaw injury because of Tom Wilson. He was laughed at getting off the ice. Tom Wilson is a demon. He is a monster. And this is everywhere. There's an article from a Pittsburgh newspaper that I read today about Tom Wilson needs to get suspended for life. I'm not suggesting that, but here's my solution. I've been offering a lot of problems this show, and now I'm going to offer a solution. How about you give this guy 10 games? Might sound like a lot. 10 NHL, potentially playoff games. Carry it into next season if the Capitals get eliminated. Give him 10 games. Not one, not a fine, not a hearing that doesn't result in anything. Not a slap on the wrist, give him 10 games. When he comes back and he kills someone in the head again, hits them in the head, you want to know what you're going to do? You're going to give him 10 games. And when he comes back again, and when there's a defenseless player playing the puck in the corner, and he goes full speed with an elbow, a shoulder, I don't care, into the head, you want to know what you do? You give this guy 10 games. When there are not just repeat offenders, if you're a repeat offender, you do something once or twice, okay. When there are 50 times that you are hitting someone, when you are a repeat offender in the double digits, if you hit someone in the head and you concuss them and you break their jaw and you shorten their lives and you ruin their season, their game, whatever, you give them 10 games. 10 games in the NHL, that's 1/8 of the season. Players will start to listen. If Tom Wilson gets a 10-game suspension a few times, I'm telling you right now, Tom Wilson will not be going around hitting defenseless players. Matt Martin, Ryan Reeves, two guys I love. I love physical hockey. They do not hit players in cheap ways. Matt Martin, when he was on the Islanders in Dallas, there was a slightly cheap hit. Game misconduct, 5-minute power play, he was out of the game. He profusely apologized. He was so sorry. He felt bad. He asked how the player was. If you're an enforcer, there are going to be times when you're giving a cheap hit, but it can't be every game. With Tom Wilson, it is literally every game. It's two games in a row. 1/10 of the Penguins' everyday roster is injured because of Tom Wilson. And I'll leave the show with this. In New Orleans, you had a bounty playing out. Tom Wilson, if the Penguins are seeing players on the other team, good players getting injured, they're not going to stop unless the NHL puts their foot down and finally gives Tom Wilson what he deserves. Tom Wilson, please stop hitting players. But if you're going to keep doing it, it's the NHL's responsibility to give you 10-game suspension. So that's it with Tom Wilson. Hopefully you guys enjoyed that. On our website, Drive for Five, we have all the things you need to know about the Islanders. Our recent articles, we have Belmont Park, the Islanders' new arena. We're not too sure what's going to happen. A lot of issues with the train station, a lot of environmental concerns, a lot of concerns with the mall that they'll be putting with it, the green space. Kyle wrote a great article surrounding that. We've had Jim Bomback commenting on it, Patrick Dowd, two fans of Drive for Five, two people who have been on the show. It's a great debate. I recommend reading that. Then we've got the Islanders' draft needs. Zach just wrote a great article. The draft, the Islanders need to hit it on the head this year, and I really, really hope that the Islanders get ace this draft. No more wingers, no more guys that are busts. We need centers, defensemen, or you need to trade and get a reliable player. The Worcester Railers, the Islanders' AA affiliate, they made the playoffs. Great story there. A lot of great players. And basically, the Islanders have many problems. Scott wrote a really good article about how the Islanders have problems besides John Tavares in the front office. They've got defensive problems, goaltending issues, a lot there. So, guys, check out Drive for Five. That's our website. Just Google it. Thank you so much for listening today. I talked for an hour. Hopefully, you guys are still with me. We talked about offsides, goaltender interference, Tom Wilson in the NHL playoffs, which is quite the mixture of stuff. But it was a lot of fun. I enjoyed it. Thank you so much for listening to Destination Hockey, guys. Enjoy the Wednesday slate of playoff games, and I hope you guys all have a great night.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business. You're listening to HunterdonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located at the historic Large House, 119 Main Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7111.